Hello and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week we're lucky enough to be joined by Louise and Helen from Metis Coaching, who talk to us about wise counsel. It's an amazing chat. They've got so much insight, and I think you're going to take away as much from it as we did. Have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week, we've got a huge cast of people on today, so it's going to be an awesome one. We're going to get some really cool perspectives, and we're doing our second ever two-person interview, so we're so excited to have both of them on, but we'll get to them shortly. Let's jump into our regular team and see how they've been this week. So, Danette, how have you been this week?
I've been super busy this week, Jez. I have had 7 workshops and coaching sessions, and this is my last thing for today and this week. So excited because I'm on the ride on mower after the podcast.
That's pretty good. Well, that's a nice way to end the week there. Graham, how are you going this week?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Jess. I've spent 3/4 of the week in Canberra, but apart from being a bit fresh, it didn't rain on us. And I'm curious as to how Danette believes she's going to find the keys to said mower that I might have strategically relocated. Anyway, I'm good.
Nice. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fun Fast and Furious style event to get on the lawnmower there. Pretty thrilling stuff at Sunnyside. Alan, how are you going this week?
I'm going great. Thanks, Jess. Yeah, probably a bit like Danette and Graham wanting to get on a machine outdoors. That's where I'm heading next week, going back to the farm to help out with harvest, which I'm really looking forward to.
No more cranes, Al?
Not for a little while, no.
Okay.
And also, Al, last podcast you were talking about kite surfing. How did you go with that?
We did get into the water, Jess, and me and the other guy in the class, we learnt that we can fly a kite. We can possibly have a board on our feet and operate that, but we could not do the two at once. So we were back on the beach learning to fly a kite.
Well, that's always fun. Good to hear, Al.
Thanks, Jez.
That's all right. John, how have you been this week?
Yeah, another busy week, Jez. It's just busy with work. I'm off to Malaysia on Sunday to do a presentation over there to a governor and a mayor and something or other on next Tuesday and Wednesday. So I actually won't be on next week's podcast, I'm sorry to say.
That's all right. International man of mystery. Well, that's awesome, John. We're excited to hear about how that goes next time. And we've got Allegra on. Legas, how are you going this week?
Yeah, pretty good. Back to work from being at uni. So just easing back into it and working on some very exciting things for Danette. With a new website coming out soon, so stay tuned.
good tease there, Legas. Good work. Louise, how's your week been?
Hi, Jez, and it's really lovely to be here with all the Magical Learning team. Helen and I are most impressed you've done the full rollout for us. Look, I've had an extremely busy week. Helen and I are busy doing lots of initiatives within our new company, which we'll be excited to touch on today. But other than that, it's probably a very good example of work-life integration, I hope. My 36-year-old son had a wisdom tooth out, so I was busy cooking soft food for him. Another of my hats is as a funeral celebrant, so I'm actually writing a service for a lovely man who died over the weekend. So it's been a very interesting and emotional week, actually, for me.
Well, that sounds like you've got so much on. Thanks for making the time to be on here today. We're really happy to have you on.
It's a pleasure.
And Helen, how have you been this week?
Thanks, Jez. I'm really good, thank you. It's lovely to see the sunshine, and we're in the middle of moving house, so I'm not stressed at all. In fact, this is, it's actually lovely to sit down and talk to some lovely people, so thank you very much for having us on.
No worries, and it's so exciting to have you both on. Sounds like there's a lot going on, so we really appreciate you both taking the time. Now, before we get into the topic today, I guess I just want to ask you a little bit about, just for people who may not know about you or Metis Coaching, do you want to tell us a little bit about these, what these are, and yourself as well?
Thanks so much, Jez. Yeah, Helen and I have been really excited to establish our company. Metis was the Greek god, goddess of wise counsel and good judgment. So while we don't at all assume that we're channeling Metis, we do hope to take advantage of our very long careers in the Australian public sector and to be able to assist and support public servants as they navigate the very challenging workplace in the public sector. So given the number of references to the public sector, you'll realise that that is definitely our focus. Well, a lot of the lessons, of course, can be applied more generally. It's very much where our experience has been and where we feel we can provide the best support. The company has a range of services from coaching and mentoring, a range of really innovative training programs, and we also do facilitation and guest speaking. So we're hugely excited. And can I say it's just a wonderful partnership that we enjoy every day. Helen.
Thanks, Louise. Yeah, look, it's really exciting to start this new venture together. Louise and I have known each other and worked together for over 20 years now. So not that we look that old, I'm sure. But look, it's, you know, we've always been, you know, worked together really in a complementary fashion. We're quite different in some ways, but in other ways we have very, very similar mindset. And what I guess, you know, we've both come through the public sector right from, you know, the early days of being a very junior person all the way up through to the senior executive service. And we just feel like, you know, we've got something to offer from all that experience. Something we hope that will help other people. So that's our primary aim, is to actually help others by sharing some of what we've learned along the way.
Perfect. Well, that's fantastic. And it's great. And if you want to check them out, you'll be able to see in the podcast description, we'll link straight to that so you can go check out Metis Coaching. And you both picked a great topic today, which was wise counsel, which you've touched on a little bit here. And I thought that was an awesome, awesome topic and something a little bit different that we haven't really done too much. I guess we've talked a little bit about it with what your company is, but do you just want to touch on a little bit why you chose wise counsel as the topic for today?
Yeah, sure, Jez. Well, it did. It's interesting, actually, when we were looking and thinking about a name for the company, we, you know, there are over 100, well, probably more than 100 options. And we ultimately cut it down to a short list. And this is where we both landed because it resonated the most for us in terms of Metis representing one, a female figure, in terms of the experience that Helen and I had in the APS. And also the fact that with age and experience does come some wisdom. And by that, and we're very careful to follow that up with the fact that we don't think by any means we have all the answers at all. And we continue to learn and we continue to gain wisdom. I think that is definitely a lifelong journey. But what it does give us is a very good understanding of the public sector environment and a very good context for being able to support public sector employees as they navigate their careers. Hopefully we can, I guess we both look back and think it would have been wonderful to have had someone in our corner that we could have asked questions of and got some advice along the way. So that's why Wise Counsel did resonate with us.
Beautiful. That's a great explanation. And it's great. I'm so excited to hear what you have to say about all these topics and questions that we've got for you today. And let's just kick it off. So Danette, I might start with you. What's your question? And maybe tell us a little bit why you chose it.
So my question is, what are some ways to build your wisdom? Because we will have listeners who are looking for some practical ways to sort of just grow their wisdom. So curious from both of you, what are some of the things you might have tried, but some ideas you've got?
Great, thanks, Danae. I might kick off with this one. Look, there's so many different ways, I think, that you can accumulate wisdom. There's no one right answer. And I guess for us, experience is a type of wisdom that that we bring. And to us, it's not just about, as Louise said, it's not about us having been there, done it, so we know everything and we're going to tell people what to do. That's not wisdom at all. But for us, it's really about making connections between disparate pieces of information. It could be making mistakes along the way and actually being able to apply the learning that you get from those, you know, oh my God moments to new situations, and being able to look below the surface, being able to really read, you know, a situation on or an issue on multiple different levels, not just a surface level, but actually understand drivers. And again, it's about making those connections between seemingly disparate issues or pieces of information to be able to actually, you know, think through what's really going on here, what's happening below the surface, and being able to think more deeply about those kind of things. So how does someone build wisdom? You know, you will accumulate it as you move through life, I think. But it's also about constantly learning, about seeking new experiences, about talking to people whose experiences might be really different to your own, and being prepared to actually listen quite deeply to other people, whether or not you share their views or not. Actually listening to what people have to say and how they might be coming at an issue, and you can usually, you know, even if it helps clarify your own perspective, which might be a completely opposite to what the person's saying, actually listening to their views really helps you clarify some of those things. And being comfortable, I think, with shades of grey. I think, you know, real wisdom is in the sort of undefined greyness. Real wisdom is really black and white and as clear as all that. So I think that, you know, all those things are why we appreciate the opportunity to sort of share our experience and help others build that wisdom. But like we said, it's not about us coming with all the answers and telling people what to do. It's actually about being curious and asking the right questions and drawing out, you know, where people are coming from and really trying to understand what people are trying, you know, where they're at and where they want to be, and trying to sort of bridge that gap for them, I think, is, for me, that's where it comes from.
Louise? Thank you, Helen.
That's a great answer. Go, Louise.
Thanks, Danette. I think what I'd add to that is that, and particularly in the APS context, it's certainly the things that you don't get right and that you learn from. And you know, of course, as we go through our careers, there's never any shortage of that. And it's taking that time to reflect on, even at the end of the day, to sort of think, look, what did happen today? Where were some areas where I could have improved things? What didn't go right? But equally, it's the things that did go well and taking the time out to reflect on those. I mean, often we get consumed with what we've done wrong and how we could have done things better. But it's also thinking, what went well? You know, how can I build on that? You know, how did my strengths come out there, and what, how can I really, you know, take that to the next level? And I think too, for us, wisdom in terms of building that wisdom is, you know, we can gain a lot of knowledge over our lives. We can gain a lot of technical expertise in our lives. But true wisdom, I think, true wisdom comes from those softer skills. It's learning how to respond to things. You know, if you're working in a workplace where you're totally miserable, where you want to exit stage left, how do you do that in a way where you don't burn bridges, where you maintain your dignity, where you can do that in a way that with a particular narrative that works for everybody? If you're taking on a new section and you've come in a very well-established team is already there, they loved the person who's just left and you arrive day one, how do you make the best of that? It's those sorts of things that for us We would have loved someone, you know, to have said, look, here are some really great things that, you can do that will work. So it's learning and reflecting, I think, are really critical things, and being open to share your wisdom too. I mean, you know, we all have wisdom, and it's being generous with that, and really being committed to assisting other people as they navigate very similar situations or their own journey. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you, Louise. Yeah, great answer. Over to you, Jez.
Thanks. Thanks so much for that. And I actually wanted to, I think we're going to stay on a similar topic with John's question, but I think John's is a little bit more sort of specific. So, John, what was your question? Maybe tell us a little bit about why you chose it.
Well, thanks, Jez. The easy part of why I chose it was, well, you know, this is about good judgment and wise counsel. Well, I could have used that in my 20s. So, only a few decades too late for me. Maybe. But it's, you know, you can't put an old head on young shoulders. So how do you work with people that haven't got that experience or that exposure to open them up? And I'm changing my question slightly from what I sent through, but how do you open them up to being open to having someone like yourselves or gaining that counsel?
Thanks, John. Look, I think, you know, anyone that's had, you know, worked with young people and got them to sort of, you know, try to explain Snapchat and TikTok and all that kind of stuff means that, you know, there's a whole body of knowledge out there that young people have that maybe some of us struggle with slightly. So I guess, you know, sort of slightly different to our first answer, experience isn't the only source of wisdom. I think young people are often pretty underrated. I think they come with open minds and open hearts a lot of the time. So their wisdom might not be born of experience, but it comes from a place of being willing to try new things, being willing to think outside the box and not just the sort of the formula that perhaps some of us grew up with. So in a workplace, I think this can mean that, you know, you can get lots of really great new fresh ideas from young people in the team, and you have to, you know, the older generation have to be kind of open to that as well, like willing to listen and not sort of go, well, you know, we've been there, done that, so we know everything, and, you know, there's nothing new in the world. I think young people are often pretty generous in the way they approach other people as well. I'm not sure whether it's, you know, a generational thing, but I actually find young people much more open to collaboration and teamwork than perhaps we were used to when we came up through the public service, where it was very much, you know, you know, individuals and teams were an expert in something and they sort of put hard borders up and walls around what they knew and they weren't necessarily willing to share. And I think in this day and age and with, you know, the workforce challenges that we now have, that model doesn't apply, and young people are probably a lot more used to and willing to just be open with what they know and share and collaborate. It's generally my experience. But having said that, I think there is still a lot of support that young people need, whether that's planning their career and sort of heading in the right direction, whether it's, you know, teaching resilience and how to bounce back from the mistakes that we have to make along the way. And that's part of life. And I think, you know, in most circumstances, it's about sitting with people and explaining that what feels like a really crushing blow, either to yourself or to career or whatever it might be, it's usually pretty recoverable, and actually talking that through and giving people options about how they might solve particular problems. And like Louise said before, part of why we started this business is, you know, we're sort of thinking of our younger selves and how we were when we were coming up through the ranks. And we would have loved someone to sit down and say, you know, these are the things that you should be thinking about, or these are the things you should be trying, or, you know, you might think that this is the right way to go, but are there some other options you could think about? And really sort of step through and have that sort of safe space where you can explore ideas a lot of young people are really open to that. So I think it's a lot about meeting them where they are, and not trying to force them into, you know, our particular way of thinking, but being open to how they think and actually trying to help them from where they currently are.
Yeah, cool.
Well, I think Helen gave the perfect answer there. So the only thing I would add is that it really is, as Helen said, about meeting young people where they are and responding to the sorts of, you know, to where they indicate themselves that they would appreciate some help. And look, a wonderful benefit of what we're doing is that we get to interact with these amazing young people and we learn so much from them. And it really just blows us away all the time, as Helen said, in terms of, you know, how broadly and how enthusiastically they're open to new ideas. You know, it is a different generation and we learn so much from them. Again, our focus on women comes to the fore here, and particularly those with caring responsibilities, not just women, but men as well, of course. And, you know, there are particular challenges for that demographic. And certainly as a young working mum, I would have appreciated any tips along the way. It's a tough gig. Any wisdom that can be born from one generation to the next in terms of that, I think is always appreciated. So look, we love the opportunity that we have to work with some amazing young people and to learn, you know, really this is all about us getting some great ideas from them.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. And we might change up the speed a little bit here because those two were about, I guess, wisdom. Now we're going to jump into some different parts of other people's lives. And I might jump quickly into them just so we can hit all these questions. Let's jump into Alan. Alan, what's your question? Maybe tell us a little bit about why you did it.
Louise and Helen, just reading, you mentioned that you work with parents and carers looking for a better work-life balance. And I guess I'm wondering, how do we change our expectations around, you know, what we expect of ourselves in our work-life balance?
Look, that's such a good question, Alan, and I think it's one of the, in some ways, one of the wicked problems of the current workplace. And it requires a real flexibility, I think. There are expectations both organisationally and personally when it comes to work-life balance, and whether that, and I've always been strongly of a view that life in all its facets, you know, whether you have children or not, or whether you're a, you know, you're a super frisbee player or whatever your passion in life is, that is, you know, is such a priority and should always be accommodated by your approach to combining work and life. So it's really no one size fits all when it comes to this. It's about what's best for each individual. It's about making sure that you are religious and vigilant about setting boundaries. And look, it's incredibly hard to do that. It was incredibly hard for Helen and I through our careers, and it becomes ever more challenging with, you know, the demands of the modern workplace all the way down from the minister's office to the childcare centre. Expectations are huge, and I think, you know, it's always a challenge to try and do everything well and to expect that of ourselves. It's about deliberately carving out time to look after yourself and to be really to put your value and worth foremost. And I think particularly for women, that can be difficult. You know, we, and you know, without wanting to generalize, certainly in my case, you know, I was raised to sort of try and be everything to everybody and to please everybody. And I think by doing that, You know, you end up absolutely exhausted, and that was certainly my experience. I absolutely burnt out and was, you know, useful to nobody, including myself. So I definitely have, you know, lessons learnt through my career and my life in terms of not looking after my physical and mental health and conceding too much of myself to everybody else, including the workplace. And it can be very easy to be completely submersed in work, particularly as you move up the more senior levels, and to let go of the very thing that keeps you healthy and productive, and to get down on a very slippery slope to arrive somewhere where, you know, where it's not a good place to be for you or for anybody in your life. So equally, the organizational expectations, which I think have just exacerbated over the years, certainly through technology and the immediacy of responses and expectations, I think has just really, in a lot of cases, just got out of control, and there really needs to be a reset. And I think, you know, certainly the pandemic has had, COVID has brought a lot of benefits in terms of the flexibility of working arrangements, but there's another side to that where things just do not get turned off. So I think in terms of expectations, that it is really is two-pronged, Alan. It is both personal and organisational.
Oh, thanks, Louise.
Yeah.
Yeah, just look really quickly. I totally agree with everything Louise said. And, you know, things have changed quite a lot. 20 years ago, when we were sort of managing all these things, I remember, so my partner was sort of, you know, middle management level in a medium-sized department. And when I went back to work, he wanted to go part-time. And no other man had gone part-time at his level. He had to fight all the way to the top of the organisation to get that approved. It was ridiculous, really. But now that kind of thing is pretty normal. But, what, you know, as Louise said, we've sort of traded off by the fact that technology has made everything a lot easier in terms of flexibility. But the risk of overwork and the demands on people's time outside of normal working hours, you know, yes, there's a bit of give and take, and some people are happy to give up. You know, they want to sort of be with their kids after school, so they might do some work in the evenings, for example. But when it gets to the point where people are working till midnight just to make up the hours and sacrificing their own sleep and their own health in order to sort of make that balance work and putting themselves last, I think that's where the real risks are. So we have come a long way, but there's still issues we need to very carefully manage.
We do. Thank you, Helen.
Awesome. Legas, I'll jump into your question. So I think it sort of follows on a little bit about what we were talking about there. What's your question and why'd you pick it?
So you guys mentioned that you guys work primarily like targeting women sort of in the APS. And I was just wondering, like, what are some wise first steps that women can make when looking to move towards management?
Thanks, Allegra. I'm happy to kick off on this one. Look, for me, the key thing is being really clear about why you want to move into management. I think a lot of people kind of get sucked up, particularly if you're good at your job. It's easy to kind of, you know, get sucked up into those sort of management levels. And most people, you know, make a good go of it. But I think what would benefit people really fundamentally before they make that shift is to think very carefully about the reasons that they want to do it. And everybody's different, so there's no right answer to that. But I think, you know, there's many different ways to build a career, and not everybody needs to go upwards. A lot of people can build a really fabulous, satisfying, diverse career by trying different things at the same level. However, a lot of people do want to go into management. A lot of women want to go into management, and whether that's because, you know, they want that more strategic, big picture lens of the organisation, or they just really like supervising and developing junior staff. You know, their reasons will be personal, but I think, you know, the first step for me would be to make sure that, you know, people sit down and think very carefully about why they want to do it, and then make sure that they really understand their own personal values and how they want to move forward with that step to management. But I might hand over to Louise to talk about other aspects of that question.
Thanks so much, Helen. Look, it's a great question, Allegra, and the points that Helen has just made are so important. You've really got to understand that why. And look, in terms of first steps, there are some really great practical ones you can take. You know, certainly in the public sector, any opportunities to act in the next level job, I think, is one of the best ways to really, you know, have a bit of a free trial, if you like, and dip your toes in the water without sort of fully committing. There's nothing like walking into that, if you're an EL2, for example, walking into that SES office and acting as the branch manager to really bring home, you know, the whole impact of operating at that level. It gives you a really great window into the sorts of responsibilities you're asked to do. I mean, just the corporate load that comes as you move up the ladder is, you know, it's often a bit hidden, but it's certainly not hidden in your inbox, that's for sure. But there's so much more that you're involved with there. It's a higher level of decision making. It's, you know, it's operating with an executive team. It's operating more directly with the minister's office. It's upwards management, the opportunity to act in that level, at that high level, I think is one of the best ways of sort of testing out, if you like, whether that's what you want to do. And I know some people sort of say, oh no, I never want to act, you know, no. But really, if you haven't absolutely ruled out moving up to the high level, and as Helen said, that's absolutely legitimate, you know, and often a terrific decision, you should take every opportunity to dip your toe in the water in that way. It's also choosing who you work for. I mean, I work for some incredible people, both men and women, and watched and learned, and it's incredible the value of doing that, and looking at how they operate. You know, there can be some incredibly challenging situations, some really, you know, Helen and I both worked in the workplace relations, a policy area, which was never dull. And, you know, you're often with tripartite meetings with unions and employer peak bodies, and similarly at the international level, you know, it can be incredibly challenging, but you watch a great operator deal in a professional way with grace and with the, you know, eye on the prize, just wanting to get an outcome, the give and take, you know, and there are ways of really doing management well. Working for people who are terrific people managers, you know, who make a difference, who bring good people on, who equally respond when things are not well, because all of those send messages to all the staff in that group. So it's really having the opportunity to work with those amazing people and taking opportunities for professional development. There's some fantastic courses and programs out there. And of course, in that respect, you know, Metis Training and Coaching, as I know, Magical Learning has some fantastic programs for leadership, for stepping up into that next level. And this is where coaching is such a valuable tool as well. It's something that wasn't around when Helen and I went through in our earlier days as we moved up the levels. And it would have been incredible to have had someone in our corner, you know, to talk to about the, you know, the decision to go into management is a life decision. You know, it affects you, it affects your family, it affects your children, your partner, your ability to have time to yourself. So it's never just a work decision. So it's taking all of those things into account. And it really is a focus of a lot of the coaching that we do. And it's a really equally, if you do go to that level and after 6 or 12 months decide that it's not for you, as has been the case with a number of people I know, it's equally legitimate to say, been there, done that, happy to go back and to do that in a legitimate way and in one in which your reputation is preserved. So great question, Allegra. Thanks for that one.
Thank you, Helen Louise. Those were some great answers.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much both for your time. I think we've got time for just one more quick one and then we might jump into our little wrap up at the end here. So maybe just I guess some quick tips. I might just do mine here because I think this is a good one to just kind of set for people to go forward. My question, because looking at your wise counsel, I was looking at what's a sort of good way to pick people that should give you advice, because sometimes it's not always obvious. So I guess just some quick thoughts on that question.
Yeah, great question. Thanks, Jess. Look, I think, you know, the first thing is to just really have a think about those people around you that you admire and respect, and try and work out exactly what it is about those people that you do respect. You know, is it their values? Is it their communication style? Is it their technical knowledge? Is it the way that they manage and lead other people? And have a chat to them. It can be quite daunting to, you know, approach somebody and say, look, I'd love to take you for a coffee, but I really want to ask you about your management style. But I've had, you know, 9 times out of 10, people are really, really happy to share and really happy to talk about what it is that they do that might be able to help somebody else. So it's worth, you know, taking that risk to approach people and just say, you know, I'd love to talk to you more about whatever it is that you'd like to talk to them about. So make contact with people, and you know, you can have in the public sector, we like to, you know, you've got your sort of direct line managers, and they're always good, you know, it's always good to have that open communication with them. But then, you know, there's so much scope to have formal and informal mentors across the public service, because there's so many great people in the public service with really diverse experience. And a lot to offer when it comes to sharing their own wisdom with others. And I think, you know, coaching can be a big part of that mix as well. So, you know, mentoring is really great in terms of, you know, people giving you advice. Coaching can be good in terms of getting people to think about what they already know themselves and how to actually surface that and put it into practical action. So there's a few different ways, I think, that people can get that kind of advice and think through their own development needs and actually sort of, you know, really fine tune those things that they want to work on for their own personal development.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Helen. Louise, your thoughts?
Thanks, Jez. Look, I'll just quickly add, I think that it's not that one of the benefits of technology, and I know this goes to one of the questions from Graham that we didn't quite have time for, is that it's not just face-to-face anymore. The beauty of technology is that, you know, you can find a TED Talk, and I love TED Talks, you can find such wisdom there. And, you know, through LinkedIn, there's just so many terrific sources of expertise now. I mean, the internet has changed everything in that respect, sometimes not for the best, but certainly in terms of that wisdom, you know. And I know Danette is a you know, my icon in terms of being a lifelong learner, and she's always reading. She's and there is just so much knowledge and wisdom to be gained from that. So I guess it's not just the face-to-face, but also what we can learn from reading and from expertise online.
Awesome. And I love that tip as well. I want to thank you both so much for your time. I'm just going to go quickly through the team and just get any final thoughts on our wise counsel topic today and the chat. So I might start with Graham. Graham, sort of any final thoughts on the conversation today or the topic of wise counsel?
I've been taking bucket loads of notes as we've been going through. So it's been fantastic. I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to share some of this conversation today. The two standouts for me were that wisdom is not necessarily age related, because, yeah, there is an old saying that with great age comes great wisdom, and that's not true for all of us. Yeah, just saying. Thanks, John, for not pointing at me directly. I'll stop there. Again, wonderful conversation. Very important one. too, but I would maybe another time like to dive into the idea of tapping into our inner wisdom.
Mm.
Conversation for another time, I think.
Totally. Well, we'll have to have you back then, I guess, Louise and Helen. I might go to Danette. Danette, any final thoughts on wise counsel of the topic today?
Yeah, it sort of links to what Graham was saying. And I love that whole thing about the reverse mentoring. So, you know, wisdom comes through our experience, and your age isn't necessarily going to, you know, so younger people can reverse mentor older people around technology, collaboration, and just using tech way more effectively. Plus their life experiences managing through COVID, their resilience, etc. So I loved that part of the conversation. In fact, the whole conversation was awesome. So thank you.
Thanks, Danette. Alan, any final thoughts on wise counsel or the conversation today?
Yeah, probably two standouts for me, Jez, is that if wisdom can really come from anywhere, like young people who don't have those limiting beliefs or expectations that, you know, maybe the older people do, and how simple it can be to acquire wisdom just by spending time watching a TED talk instead of some other things that we tend to stare at on the TV.
That's a good pick up there, Al. I love that.
There's a lot of wisdom in cats and cucumbers.
That's true. John, any final thoughts on wise counsel or the conversation today?
Yeah, Jez, I'm sort of aligned with what, you know, Danette, Graham and Alan have already said, but, you know, that be prepared to play in those shades of grey. Nothing's ever, you know, as simple as what we think it might be. And, you know, it's not as black and white. So, and Helen was talking about that earlier, but that also listen, you know, and one of the things I've said in multiple training sessions that I've given is that listen has the same letters as silent.
Love that, John. Thanks for that. And Legas, final thoughts on either wise counsel or the conversation today?
Well, I feel like everyone sort of covered what I was thinking, but yeah, I really appreciate what you guys have said today, because I think like what you do is so important, especially with like the focus on women, because, you know, in the workplace, you know, women aren't particularly like the audacity to go for these positions isn't necessarily always inbuilt for a lot of women. So I really appreciate what you guys do for, you know, women in the workplace and the APSC. So thank you so much.
Love that. Thanks, Legas. And yeah, I just want to say also, I love the concept of risking contact kind of with good people that you want to learn from that have those things. I thought that was such an interesting way to put it, but it is true. It does always sometimes feel kind of scary, but I'm definitely going to take that part away. Helen, any final thoughts on the topic today or the conversation?
I just want to thank you all so much for having us on. It's been a delight, and it's actually really helped us fine-tune our thinking on this topic as well, because, you know, it's really easy to say that we're all about wise counsel, but actually going below the surface about, oh, what does that actually mean? And it's been fabulous. So thank you so much for having us.
No worries. And thank you so much for being on. And Louise, any final thoughts on wise counsel or the topic today?
Thanks so much, Jez. I absolutely echo Helen's comments there. We so appreciate this opportunity, and it really has been that the questions were actually really hard. So we were expecting just some easy ones, but no, they were terrific. They've really made us think very deeply. And look, we so appreciate the support that Magical Learning has given us through Danette and Graham and all of you. And we just love the collaboration that we have. And for viewers out there, we would love to see you at our website. So we'll give a plug. So it's www.metiscoaching.au. Thank you so much.
That's awesome. And thank you so much, everybody. If you're listening to this, go check it out. They're awesome. You've heard from them today. They've got so much wisdom and stuff to share. So definitely go check out that website. That link is also going to be in the podcast description. So you can go check that out. I really want to thank everyone for being on the call today, and especially Louise and Helen. We really appreciate the time. You've both got such hectic schedules at the moment, and it was a great conversation. So I'm really happy to have you both on. Also to our listeners, thanks so much for sharing it. Our numbers are growing each week, so we really appreciate that. And as always, everybody, have a magical week.